Well, this morning, as we continue the series in Proverbs, we've named it Life Hacks. For those who were not here last Sunday, that life hacks are ways that make life easier, things that we often take for granted, and it's something that really helps us. And today we're going to show a life hack that relates to integrity or character. The Proverbs speaks a lot about character, integrity, about living a life that honors God. And so we're going to see this. Now, you know, God wants us to be generous. He wants us to be people who are willing to give to others. And sometimes, you know, somebody might be in your house and they talk about, they see a book on the shelf that you've read, and they talk about, hey, I've always wanted to read that book, but just haven't made it to the bookstore. And you willingly give them that book. Well, it's been several months, and you've not seen the book. It's not come back to you, and it's kind of an awkward situation. Do you call back and say, hey, can I get that book or whatever? Or maybe you loaned a weed eater to somebody, and you're waiting to get that weed eater back or whatever else. And so sometimes that becomes a matter of integrity. And in fact, you've borrowed something and you know you should get it back. It belongs to them, but you've hung on to it for days, weeks, months, even years. And you know it doesn't belong to you. Well, recently we had a couple of guys in our church who had this kind of problem. You know, there are apps that are online that you can download on your phone or your computer where it keeps track of things that you've borrowed. You can make a list and write down who borrowed it, or the date, and all the rest. But there's another way that you can do that that I think makes it very practical, very easy, and it's the hardcore evidence that you sent it out, you borrowed it, and that that person, borrowed it as well. So let's see how these two guys handled it real quick.
Hey, I have this extra guitar cable and I might need it for something. I think I loaned that to you. Do you might have that?
Yeah, dude, it was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I still have it. What did it look like?
You know what? I actually have a picture of you on the day that you borrowed it. Let me see. Yeah, I think this is it right here.
Yeah, man, I've been using that. Like, I forgot it was your name. Okay. I mean, it's in the worship center.
Oh, sweet.
Can I grab that?
Yeah, would that be all right?
Yeah. Hey, that reminds me.
Yeah.
My family's copy of Frozen, the kids are coming over this weekend, and we were going to watch it. Do you mind if I get that back for this weekend?
Frozen, yeah. like the princess movie, Frozen?
Yeah, Frozen.
You know what? That just doesn't sound like something I'd borrow. I mean,
well, maybe you borrowed it to watch it with Mirren?
With Mirren? You know what? She's two, so she's still kind of young to watch full-length movies. So no, man, I don't think that was me. Uh-huh. Well, no.
Dude, this is awesome. I actually have a picture of you.
Of me?
Yeah.
Borrowing it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm so glad we did that. Look.
Huh. You know what? No disrespect. I mean,
yeah.
But that doesn't really look like me, man.
Dude, you're wearing the same shirt. Like, that's your literally the same outfit.
Huh.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
Yeah.
Do you think I could borrow it one more day? Please.
Dude, let it go.
Oh, because of the song. Right. Good one. Good one.
All right, sometimes we need that. Isn't that a great life hack that you can use? Just, hey, yeah, you can borrow, but I'm going to take your picture with it. Make sure that I know that you have it. Well, the Proverbs has many life hacks that give us great wisdom. It makes it easy for us to live the life that God wants us to live. Sometimes we complicate it, and we make it very hard. If you will, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to use a text as an anchor text, and then there'll be other verses in Proverbs that we'll look at that relate to this issue of character or integrity. And listen, your life will be all the more easy. It will be such a fruitful life, a happy life, a fulfilled life, if we live a life of character, of godliness, of integrity. It's a simple life hack that will revolutionize your life, make it so much easier. And we'll see that in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Here Solomon says, The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Now, I want you to notice in particular verse 23. Another translation says it this way: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life. A guard is obviously somebody who protects you, and Solomon is saying that it's important that we guard, that we protect our heart. The word heart there means our emotions, our will. It really means the decisions that we're making, our very lives. That's what he means by the word heart, that we need to protect ourselves, protect the decisions based on our will. And so sometimes our hearts come under attack. And that's why he's helping us to understand the problem of compromising, of deceiving ourselves and deceiving others, where we need to know who we really are. It's what's going on the inside that really matters, not the actions that are taking place on the outside. James Dobson had a really poignant moment years ago before he became well known. As many of you know, he's written a lot about families, and he's a psychiatrist, and he's very well known, a lot of the books and films that he's done. But he said that he received a box in the mail with a letter in it one day before, again, he was well known. And it was a man who was from his hometown. He had the responsibility of tearing down his old high school, of raising the building. They were going to build a new structure. And so he was going through the building, culling out things that some people might consider important. And he came back to a closet in the back of the building, and there was a trophy case with all these trophies that had been inside the case. And they had been there for years, decades. Nobody had seen these particular trophies in the trophy case. And so the man was going through the trophies, and he was pitching these trophies into the garbage can that would go to the dumpster, and then the building would be destroyed. But as he was going through the trophy case, he picked up a trophy, and it said, James Dobson. And he said, man, I remember James Dobson. I've read some of his books. James Dobson was a well-known tennis player at that time. He had won some championship, and the trophy recognized that. And so he put it in a box, and he mailed it to him and thanked him for his years of ministry. And Dobson said, as I read that, I went down memory lane and I reminisced about that event and the wonderful experience of being on the tennis team in the high school days. But he said, it taught me a great lesson in life, that for decades that trophy sat in a closet, in a case that nobody ever saw and nobody really cared about. Not that that wasn't insignificant, what he experienced, but he realized that what happens on the inside of my life is far more important than any praise or accolades or recognitions that I'm going to receive on the outside. And so character matters, and what's going on the inside of your heart is what it's all about. Now, there are four questions I want to answer this morning related to character. Number one, what is character? Proverbs 21:3 tells us, doing what is righteous and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. He says character is doing what is right. Solomon's saying is that doing what is right is more important than any sacrifice or any religious act that I could bring to God. In other words, it's more important that we do what is right and do what is just than just showing up at church. Because, again, that's an outward action, but what's going on the inside and how that's played out is far more important. Sacrificing was a good thing then, and going to church today is a good thing as well, but that's not what is most important. They're still outside actions that really should reflect what's going on the inside. Going to church is great, but it should be a reflection on what my heart is, my motive, as it relates to God. Notice also, character is doing the right thing even when it's the hard thing. Now, this is where we really find out the nature of our character. It's not just doing the right thing, because most people will do the right thing most of the time, but when it's the hard thing, is there compromise? Or am I still willing to do the right thing when it's very hard to do the right thing? Many of you know Chuck Colson, who is the founder of Fellowship Prison Ministries. I was in eighth grade, I believe it was. Eighth grade, Dr. Self's civics class, when in the 70s, every day for several weeks, we watched the Watergate hearings. That was our civics lesson for the day. And I'll never forget it. It was fascinating to understand what was going on. Chuck Colson served in Richard Nixon's administration, and there was a break-in at the Watergate Hotel. And not to go into all of that, but Chuck Colson was known as the hatchet man for Richard Nixon. He was a key cog in that whole experience. He had been indicted, and just after he was indicted, he came to know Christ as his Savior. Now, many were saying, well, that's a foxhole conversion. It wasn't sincere. But if you read his story or hear him tell the story, he was radically saved. And he knew that he was facing some very serious charges, but he was not guilty of any of the charges that were levied against him. And this is what people may not know about Chuck Colson. He knew, his lawyers had told him, you're going to get off on this. There's no way they're going to prove that you did any of these things. And Colson knew that he hadn't done any of that. And so he was at a prayer breakfast, and he was speaking, and he was sharing his testimony, and he thought he would go ahead and address the charges that were against him, his indictment. And he was going to say that he was innocent of the charges that were against him, but he inserted one word that changed everything and changed his life. And he said, I am not guilty of most of the charges against me. He didn't even realize he said the word most. And so he started to pull those words back in. You know, once it goes out, you can't pull it back in. But the media didn't pick up on it. No one asked him about it. No one in the room, no media person asked him about the word most, because they knew he had been indicted. Of course, what else is a guy going to say? You know, I'm innocent. He wrestled all weekend, couldn't sleep. He called his lawyer and he said, I'm not guilty of any of these charges, but I am guilty of these charges. And so I want to plead guilty to these charges. His lawyer said, you're crazy. You're going to get off. You won't go to prison. Very few of those went to prison who were actually indicted. Colson was the first. When he pled guilty to those charges in a court of law and spent 3 years in prison. And as a result of being in prison, he developed a ministry to prisoners and their families for 40 years. He's an intellectual, ethical giant today because of what Christ did in his heart and because he did the right thing when it was the hard thing to do. That's character. And that's when it's on the line. And that's what is the testimony to the world of who we really are, because of doing the right thing when it's the hard thing. Also, character is really reflecting the character of Christ that is demonstrated by the fruit of the Spirit. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Now, what are those? Notice the word fruit is singular. He didn't say the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And what Paul is showing is the character of Christ. And that character ought to be reflected through us. So when somebody talks about the character of Christ, this is what they ought to see, these traits of the character of Christ. So if character is doing the right thing, then the second question is, what does character do? What does character do? First of all, character tells the truth. The people of Solomon's day were just as adept, as deceiving, as lying, as equivocating as we are today. It's nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. That's why Solomon spoke about the importance of truth and integrity. Now, there are several verses related to this in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest scales are detestable to the Lord, but an accurate weight is His delight. Now, before modern-day currency, they would barter or trade, and they would use a scale. You would have a weight of silver versus a weight of wheat, or whatever else the item would be, and that's how they would trade, and that's how items and goods were moved in that time and day. But people were deceived. What those would do who had the scales is that they would hollow out the weights and put a false bottom in, and so you weren't getting as much as you paid. So they were deceiving, they were lying. And Solomon recognized this and spoke about that. And Solomon tells us that God cares about the weights. People of good character are people who speak the truth even when it costs them something. Proverbs 16:11. Honest balances and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His concern. Proverbs 20:10. Differing weights and varying measures both are detestable to the Lord. Notice differing weights. You're not using the same weights. Varying measures. You're not measuring the same way. It varies based on who the person is and how you can take advantage of that person. And He's saying God is watching as it relates to our character and our integrity. Notice these verses. Proverbs 2, verse 7. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity so that He may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of His loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. Proverbs 10:9. The one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Proverbs 28:18. The one who lives with integrity will be helped, but one who distorts right and wrong will suddenly fall. So character tells the truth. What else does character do? Character stands for justice. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous person knows the rights of the poor, but the wicked one does not understand these concerns. In other words, character will work for the right of others. Solomon mentions the poor because they were the most vulnerable. They were being taken advantage of, and there was not fair treatment for them. And the Bible says a righteous person stands for justice. That word just means in the dictionary acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good. Now, who defines that? God does. God says what is morally right or morally just based on His truth that He reveals to us. And so that's the definition of what is morally right, the thing that we ought to do. God has shown us that. So something is true or right because it mirrors the character of God. That's so important to understand. What is true reflects the character of God. What we do morally reflects the character of God. Notice these verses. Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to show partiality to the guilty by perverting the justice due the innocent. Proverbs 17:26, it is certainly not good to fine an innocent person or to beat a noble for his honesty. Proverbs 24, don't testify against your neighbor without cause. Don't deceive with your lips. Don't say, I'll do to him what he did to me. I'll repay the man for what he has done. So character has a strong sense of justice. But what else does character do? Character cares for the weak. Proverbs 14:31. The one who oppresses the poor insults their maker, but one who is kind to the needy honors him. You see, the way we treat others who are less than us is a direct reflection of how we view God. If we love God, we're going to love those who are weaker than us, those who are helpless, those who are defenseless. Because if we don't, it means that we don't love God, that we don't care about God. If we don't care for the weak, we don't care about God. We say we care about God. We show up at church and act as though we care about God. But if we're not helping those who are defenseless, those who are innocent, those who are weak, then we're really not caring for God as we should. Proverbs 21:13, the one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. You wonder why nobody helped you in your time of need? Maybe it's because you never helped anybody else in their time of need. Proverbs 22, don't rob a poor man because he is poor, and don't crush the oppressed at the gates, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Proverbs 23, don't move an ancient property line, and don't encroach on the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong, and he will take up their case against you. Now, in that day and time, they didn't have maps. But they had for ages, for centuries, they would have stone walls that would be the boundary of a particular property. And so the husband would die, and here is a widow with her children. And there were those who lived contiguous to that property, and over time they would move the wall. They would move those stones and create a new boundary, increasing their territory and lessening the fatherless of their territory, what was rightly due them. And he says, you're going to stand in court with God. And what does Solomon say? You don't want to be on the opposite side of the courtroom with God when it comes to the way that we care for the weak. Now, what does character do? It tells the truth, it stands for injustice, and it cares for the weak. Third, why does character matter? Why does character matter? Why are you talking about this? Well, Solomon did, for one thing, it's important. And many verses related to it. But Solomon said to guard your heart. Why? Because there are many consequences. There are good consequences and there are bad consequences if we're not living a life of godly character. You see, Solomon knew that failing to guard your heart would lead to one path of compromise after another. The first one is very small and very easy. And then before you know it, there are major compromises that a person is making in their life. And there will always be choices to make. You think you've had the tough test, well, tomorrow there's going to be another one. Why? Because we're facing the enemy. The enemy's trying to deceive us. He's trying to make us compromise what is right because God's reputation is at stake. His witness is at stake. He's trying to have somebody else say, see, there you go, there's another Christian. With no integrity, with no character, compromised once again. And it's a reflection of God. There'll always be choices that you have to make, hard choices, and there'll be painful choices. The consequences may be tough, the result may be very unpleasant, but doing what is right is going to cost you. It may hurt someone that you love. But that's where you reach deep down inside your heart, where the root of character sits, and you trust God and you do what is right. You know it's going to cost you. You're going to pay for this. You're going to lose friends. Family's not going to understand. But down deep inside, you know this is right. And I cannot compromise. I'm going to do the right thing. Most people don't want to do the hard thing. They want to be happy. And they want others around them to be happy, so they're willing to compromise their character. They want to do the easy thing. But listen, the choices that you make determine the destination of your life. That's why this is so important. Proverbs 4:18, the first verse I read this morning. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, shining brighter and brighter until day. You've been up early in the morning. And you can't see the sun, but you begin to see the light. It's coming up over the horizon. It's still dark. It's still foggy. But when you see that first ray, you know that in a few hours, the sun will be in the sky, and you'll be able to see everything. And so it is with our character. That it's still dark. It's foggy. But you begin to see that first ray as you do the right thing and you don't compromise. And God says that in due time, I'm going to raise that light into the sky so that all will see that you did the right thing and I will honor you and I will bless you. So some of you right now, it's dark. And you're deciding whether or not to do the right thing, and there's that little bit of light out there that is saying to you, it's the right thing. You know you're convicted that this is right. You know this is the truth. But there's a battle raging in your heart whether to follow that light and watch that light rise up into the sky, and God will honor you and bless you for doing what is right. Or you could do the wrong thing and walk in darkness. God will honor you. Now, why does character matter? It matters because you'll have a good name, as Proverbs talks about. That God will have a good name because His reputation is at stake. Well, I know that's what I should do, but how do I guard my character? How do I guard my heart? I'm going to give you a few steps. First of all, surrender to the Holy Spirit. In other words, receive a new character. Receive a new heart. Receive a new life. You can look and you can see that your character is compromised, that there's a darkness that is there, and that's called sin. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, of God's perfection. But today, in this room, at this time, you can have all of that taken away. That old character, that old life, that old person can be removed, and you can have a new character, a new life. You'll be a new person in Christ. The Bible calls it a new man. And that's the great power of the forgiveness of God, as we sang about a few minutes ago. You can come to the altar, to God's altar, to the cross. That's His altar. And there you can receive forgiveness for your sin. Secondly, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word's used of taming of a wild animal. And so as I receive this new spirit, this new man, this new character, he says to be controlled by it. Third, demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as I read earlier, the character of Christ. Then, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says this, if we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. Paul would use the word walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, several times in the New Testament. So our lives are walking in the light of God's truth. And then, don't hinder the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Thessalonians, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't try to stop what God's Spirit is doing in your life, or what God is doing in His church, in the body of Christ, what God's doing in your home, in your family. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't try to stifle the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit do what only the Spirit can do, as He builds that godly character in your life, in your home, in the church of Jesus Christ. And then celebrate the character of Christ. Celebrate the win. Call someone and say, man, my character was on the line. This was the great temptation, but God empowered me to do the right thing. It's not that you're bragging about yourself. You're giving God the glory and the praise, and you need to celebrate that win. And when we come together on Sundays corporately, we're celebrating the wins that God has given us as we face those tests. And when we've blown it, listen, we're going to blow it. And when we sin, that we stand at the mercy seat of God and we confess that as sin and we receive His forgiveness and we move on. We don't let the enemy beat us up about things that have happened in the past. The guilt and shame of all that's been removed because of the love and the power of God, and so that we move on, but we celebrate the victories that we've experienced. And that's what we do on Sunday. We come together and we celebrate all that God has done in our lives as we've tried to live a life to reflect His character and to give glory to Him for who He is. Now, this past week on Tuesday, it's a great illustration of this. Florida State, they're going to play Ole Miss tomorrow night, all right? I have several comments I can make about football this weekend, but I'm not. But tomorrow night, Florida State and Ole Miss, it's a big game. Florida State's well known for having great seasons, national champions. Bobby Bowden, who was the coach there for many years, for decades, great Christian leader, great Christian man. In fact, when I first became a chaplain for the University of Central Florida's football team, we had a guy who played for Bobby Bowden, and he was the head coach, and he said, if you want to learn how to be a chaplain for a college football team, you need to go to Florida State, and he told me the name of the chaplain, and he said, you go talk to that guy because they did it right up there. And so it was a great experience being a chaplain like that. But Florida State, this past Tuesday, several players went to Montford Middle School in Tallahassee. Some of you may have seen this. That they went to a middle school, and it wasn't a media event. They weren't there. The media was not there. And they went into the cafeteria, and all the students were eating lunch, and there was one boy who was eating by himself, Bo Pansky. And Bo was autistic. He is autistic. And for the first week of school, nobody sat by him. He ate lunch every day by himself. Travis Rudolph, who is one of the great receivers for Florida State, went over and sat down across from him. He said, hey, is it okay if I join you for lunch? The guy said, sure, go ahead and sit down. And they began to have a conversation. Bo didn't know anything about Florida State. He didn't know anything about Travis Rudolph. Didn't know he played football. Really didn't care. But what he did care about is the guy sat down next to him and ate. The way Bo talked, Travis talked in some of the interviews I saw, it sounded like that he's a believer. That just the words that he used, phrases, his attitude, his heart. But a friend at the school took a picture of Bo and Travis sitting there having lunch. And she sent it to Bo's mother. And she got on Twitter and she posted the picture. And she talked about making a mom's day. That's character. He wasn't doing it for a media stunt. When really no one knew why he was there or what he was doing. Bo certainly didn't know that. That he saw a person alone who needed to be encouraged. Or he could have gone and sat down with the others, and maybe it was very awkward to sit down with an autistic person. What do I say? How do I act? What kind of conversation? Can we have a conversation? What are we going to do? But in that quiet moment, that's character. That's what really matters. And when Travis one day is sitting all alone, and everybody's forgotten about his trophies and his trophy case, and they're tucked away back in Tallahassee, and nobody is going to recognize that, Travis is going to know that on that day I did the right thing. I'm going to tell you, Bo's mother's going to know that he did the right thing. And there are going to be those quiet, lonely moments. And listen, God has the big camera out. He's taking the pictures. He's watching and seeing the character of Christ in us who claim to know Him as Lord and as Savior. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? There's somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I need to receive a new character. I need a new life. And listen, you can't create that. You can't create a new person inside of you. Only Christ can do that. Because of the sin nature that we have. That's the issue. And Christ died on the cross to take care of that sin nature in you. And He's able to forgive you of everything that has happened in your life. You may say, He can't forgive me of this, but yes, He can. You're not too far from God. He's close. And He wants to help you. He wants to love you. His arms are open wide at the altar of the cross, ready to receive you, all of you. And He'll make you into a new person and give you a new life and to show you what godly character looks like. And He'll help you. And that's what we'll do as well here at Linwood, as other believers are on that same path, trying to live a life that glorifies God. So I want to encourage you this morning, in just a moment when we continue our worship, that you'll come and give your heart to Christ, receive a new character, a new life. There are others of us in this room who know the Lord, but there might be somebody here who's really in the balance about a character issue, an integrity issue. Maybe you've made the wrong decision. Nobody knows about it, but You need to make it right, like Chuck Colson did. It may cost you something, but you need to do the right thing. There might be somebody here this morning who needs to come, a person, a family, to join our fellowship and to be part of a church that's trying to live a life that honors Christ. We're not a perfect church, but that's our desire, is to reflect the character of Christ in this community and around the world. There might be others of you who just need to come and pray, to talk with somebody, to pray with somebody. There's a heavy need on your heart, and you need to share that with somebody. Then we're prepared to help you this morning. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us as we just humble ourselves before you. Thank you that you have empowered us with the Holy Spirit to live a life that makes our life better, because we live with integrity and with godly character. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help these who need to come do so now. In Jesus' name, amen.